The Blackshaw Arts Hour on Wandsworth Radio, where you listen with your ears and not your mouth.
Good evening, and you're listening to the Blackshaw Arts Hour on Wandsworth Radio. I'm Aisha, and I've got Ellie with me again this week.
Hello.
We're bringing you an hour's worth of arts in Wandsworth and beyond this week. We've gone a little bit further afield. What have we got coming up? I've got Leslie Strachan's done a nice little review for us about a pantomime that's happening in the area. And I went and saw some theatre on Thursday, and I'm going to review that for you because that was really exciting. And we've also got Fetch coming up. We sort of brushed on this last week that we're going to be playing this. This is a radio play that we've adapted from the stage to the radio world, which is exciting. And, yeah. So, Ellie, what have you been doing this week? What's news with Blackshaw?
Well, Blackshaw at the moment, as we mentioned last week, has got a competition open for anyone who is a budding writer. It's called the Blackshaw Showcase Award. We run it annually, and anyone can apply if you've got a piece of writing that is anything up to 15 minutes long, or if you want to take an extract from a longer piece that you've already written, then you can send it in to us. And all the information about entering that competition is on our website, which is blackshawonline.com. And the prize is pretty exciting. We will produce your play as a full-length play in January next year, and we support you through that process. So we'll provide you with a writing mentor or writing workshops or staged readings, whatever it is that you need to assist you in developing that that piece.
That's so exciting.
Thank you.
And the next thing that we've got coming up this week is we've got the lovely Matt Boothman in the studio, which is exciting. Last week he wasn't in the studio, but this week he's here, and he's going to be doing a review for us.
Yeah. The Matt Boothman film review. So good, I put my trousers back on.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Aisha. Nice to be here this week. Actually, yes. In the studio this time.
It's great to have you with us. What are you reviewing for us this week, Matt?
Now, I think you teased this last week. I'm going to talk a little bit about Birdman. And I know you set out your stall about this last week pretty clearly. you kind of despised this film.
I did.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited to hear your review, because I've been trying to think of a critical way to say I hated it. And I'm hoping that you can help me.
I probably can, actually.
Okay.
So my sort of overall feeling on the movie is that I think it's an easy movie to admire and a really hard movie to like or to warm to or especially to love. It's actually interesting timing that we've launched this arts show run by a theatre company at a time when there's a couple of movies in the theatre at the same time with a kind of theatrical slant to them. So last week I talked about Into the Woods, which is based on a stage musical, and this week we've got Birdman out at the same time in cinemas, which is about people trying to put on a Broadway show. So lots of theatre/cinema angles for us to cover here. So the person trying to put on the show is Regan Thompson, played by Michael Keaton. And Regan Thompson used to be known for the Birdman movies, the fictional Birdman movies, which is basically a Batman analog. Birdman appears a couple of times in the movie, and he speaks basically like Christian Bale's Batman with the very deep voice. So it's about him trying to put on his show and trying to get away from being typecast as a movie superhero and trying to become a triple threat theatre writer, director and star. And he butts heads with Edward Norton, who plays a very method stage actor, and lots of other people backstage. Now, you may already have noticed that the casting is a little bit meta in this movie. So we've got Michael Keaton, known for playing Batman back in the day in Tim Burton's Batman movies, playing somebody who is known for playing Birdman. You've got Edward Norton, who is famously a bit method and actually also has a superhero pedigree. He had a famously kind of method take on The Incredible Hulk that caused problems between him and the studios and got cut into a much more sort of natural traditional superhero movie. And we've even got Emma Stone in the mix as Regan Thompson's daughter, with her Gwen Stacy hair colour back from that she wears in the Amazing Spider-Man movies. And that kind of gives you a flavour of the kind of movie this is, and you're going to start getting an idea already of whether this is for you, because the whole thing is aggressively meta. So not only is it casting people in roles that are kind of similar to what they're like in real life, but you've also got stories within stories. So there's a play within a film, and the play itself is adapted from a real-life short story, a Raymond Carver short story, what we talk about when we talk about love. The themes of that story tie into the themes of what Regan Thompson is trying to achieve, trying to be loved for who he is and through his actions. And it's also meta in that it's a movie about movies. It's a movie full of famous people about being famous and about the pressures of fame. And it's about the line between reality and fantasy, and it blurs that line very strongly. So I happen to enjoy a bit of meta in my art. Your mileage may vary. I know different people have different levels of patience for that kind of thing, and if it turns you off, it turns you off. And actually, there's a lot of stuff in this movie that seems almost designed to test people's patience and push certain buttons. So it's a Hollywood movie about Hollywood, and it's Hollywood sort of talking about itself, sort of patting itself on the back. And I know people have you get a lot of them around awards season. This is nominated for a lot of awards at the Oscars and the BAFTAs, and I know certain people have not too much patience with that. It's about a man in a middle life crisis getting through his man pain, and I know people have limited patience with that as well. It's about, so Michael Keaton's character and Edward Norton's character butt heads, and that kind of clash of male egos, which incidentally I saw Whiplash this week as well. And if we're going to talk about a clash of male egos, that kind of ties in with that as well. But again, that's the thing that we've seen a lot in films, and especially in award-winning films. And of course, as you mentioned last week, it's got a lot of jazz drumming in it, really aggressive jazz drumming soundtrack.
Oh my goodness. This is the reason I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't deal with it. It was too much. Yeah. And I realise, I know the reason it's there. It's to make you uptight. And it made me uptight. It didn't make me want to sit through the rest of the film. But yeah, no. Continue, Matt. Yeah. Sorry.
So the whole thing, it has a lot of button-pushing elements in it. And so there's going to be a relatively small subset of people, I think, who aren't turned off by at least one of those things. But it is all kind of in service of something. So like you say, the jazz drumming is annoying, but it kind of has a purpose. It sets a mood. And in the same way, it's got a very sort of stylized style of shooting. So the whole thing is... It clearly isn't, but it's edited to look like it's one continuous take for nearly the whole movie, bar a couple of cuts near the beginning and end. And I say it clearly isn't because that would be crazy to be following these people around this theatre and do the entire movie in one take. But then you start thinking, that is only crazy in cinema. That's not crazy on the stage, because that's basically what plays are, is you have to do the entire story in one take without the camera ever leaving that stage. And that's where you start getting into what this movie is about, which is about the kind of the contrast between cinema and theatre, what each one does better than the other. It's almost, it feels like a filmmaker's view of what theatre is. So the camera work is kind of showing, it does kind of draw attention to itself, because it's not something that you see in every movie, that kind of single take style. The camera work is very kind of fluid. It's very relaxed. It kind of meanders around the theatre. It's actually the same cinematographer that did Gravity, and there's a lot of similar tracking shots in that, with the camera kind of swinging around in space, although obviously there's a lot more violence in that movie. But it's kind of a cinematographer's view of what theatre is like, and that kind of bleeds over into the action as well and what happens backstage. So backstage at this Broadway theatre, everybody is sleeping with everybody else, and people are wrecking dressing rooms. People are having fights in their underpants, and I kind of came out of it going, now, is that what it's really like backstage in a Broadway theatre? Or, because that's not my experience of backstage in theatres, but then I've only been on the London Fringe. Or is this just what a Hollywood filmmaker's idea of backstage in a theatre looks like. And the whole thing is about this stage and screen, this push-pull between genres. And it's there's so much snobbishness on show, and it really doesn't shy away from that. Again, that's something that will probably turn people off, is seeing such snobbish behaviour by so many of the characters in it. So it's about what is high art and what is low art. Is it low art if it's commercial and makes big bucks and puts bums on seats, like superhero movies with loads of CGI? Is Michael Keaton's character less of a credible artist than Edward Norton's method stage guy just because he took loads of money in superhero movies? I said again about Into the Woods last week that it was interesting that it kind of shied away from showing spectacle and using lots of CGI. And this movie has a lot to say about that as well. It does have one big CGI sequence when it's starting to bleed fantasy into reality. But it has a lot to say about that dichotomy. It has a really poisonous theatre critic character in it.
I loved her. Yeah. She was my favourite thing about the film, apart from Edward Norton, obviously.
Yeah. And she threatens to basically torpedo the play sight unseen purely because its star is from the movies. And she objects to that kind of...
crossover.
Yeah, she objects to him coming down into her territory.
Mm. Because he's had fame. He's done that.
He has, yeah.
And that's what annoyed me about his character, is he's completely unlikable. It's like, just stop. You've done your thing.
And it is kind of about that. And it's... so you can contrast the critic with his producer, Zach Galifianakis. I knew I was going to mess up that name. Zach Galifianakis's character, who is only really concerned with the fact that because he's famous, he's filling out the theatre. And then all of these opinions are put against kind of the shadow of Birdman, who speaks to Michael Keaton's character throughout the movie in this deep Christian Bale voice, and appears in sort of fantasy sequences once or twice. Because while everybody else is saying you're less of an artist because you've been in movies, you're washed up, you're trying too hard, you're doing this thing where you think that the theatre can rehabilitate you or make your career more credible purely because it's the theatre. Even his daughter, so Emma Stone's character, is saying, actually, everybody is irrelevant. Nobody, it doesn't matter what any of us do. And then the character of Birdman keeps coming back and telling him that actually he is better than everybody else. And he is above everyone. He should be looking down on everyone from sort of Birdman's point of view. And that's why I think it'll be interesting to see how things turn out at the Oscars. Mm. Because I feel like if it's up for Best Picture, I feel like if it wins Best Picture, that the Academy might implode from irony overload. Because it would basically be the Academy... giving their stamp of approval to a movie that I think its central thesis seems to be that you can't really survive in show business without completely giving into that ego and listening to that voice in your head that says, no, actually, you're better than everybody else.
Yeah.
So if they vote it Best Picture, then they're basically saying I feel like that's them saying that that is true. And because it's also on top of that, it's a movie about it's about Hollywood and about the Hollywood machine, that it would be the Academy voting Best Picture for a movie that is about themselves, but that claims that they're all horrible egomaniacs, and it would just go in a horrible circle.
I agree. Yeah. And I think, I hate to admit it, but I think in sort of critically thinking about how I read the movie, I hate to admit the fact that I don't think I actually understood it. I don't think I understood all of the elements that you've just spoken about and how they made the film what it is. And that annoys me because I don't like not understanding things.
To me, it sounds like it's one of those films where really it's kind of an academic essay on the thesis of film versus stage versus fame versus awards, etc. And it's, you know, not really designed for the everyman to enjoy.
No, but there are elements of it, I think, that are, like, all, like, the CGI that you were talking about. I saw that and I was just like, why is this happening? I don't understand how this fits into this film. It sort of was that weird balance for me of the fantastical and the huge reality of the fact that, actually, theatre, this is what theatre is, apparently, according to us. And I didn't like that balance. And I didn't like how it made me feel very uptight, and I didn't like any of the characters at all. And I just found it, yeah, to be a very anxious film.
So conclusion is probably not enjoyable, but interesting.
I don't know, yeah. I found it enjoyable, but yes, it's very hard to like. Maybe we need to make a play about cinema, about filmmakers now, to do a bit of tit for tat.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Matt, for coming in and doing that review.
Thanks for having me.
That's okay.
The small but perfectly formed theatre group in Wandsworth give us perhaps our last chance to see a pantomime for the year. New Stages in SW18 have written and produced Treasure Island. They have reduced a potential cast of 126 down to 12 and introduced a dame into the bargain. Our arts correspondent for Wandsworth Radio, Leslie Strachan, went to a rehearsal and met Keith to discuss his career as a dame, and Paul, who wrote and directed the production.
Now, I must admit, I didn't know there was a dame in Treasure Island, but Keith, you have this role. I understand a dame is a significant part of your acting career so far.
Yeah, it's the only part, really. To be honest. It's I've been doing it for about 8 years. A lot of people think, oh, you know, get up, do dress up as a woman and you know, play dame. But it's when I first started it, you realise it's not as easy as that at all. There is a skill to it. And it took me about 4 years to actually get the character that I want under my belt. From the point of view of you're not a drag act. You are there as a man dressed as a woman, but you never let the audience forget that. A lot of the time I'm, if you like, bring the comedy, which is more for the mums and dads coming along just to keep them enthralled in it.
And what would you say motivates the dame in this pantomime?
It's money. Always. Money and one of the other things is gin and rum. That's another thing. And really just trying to get as much treasure as you can with as little effort as you can. And obviously she does want to try and bag herself the captain, Captain Smollett, who she's fallen in love with from the first sight, although he doesn't feel the same.
I guess you've got final say over your dress and costume for the show.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that Paul and I agreed on is that I'm not your traditional panto dame in the fact that I don't come out in the flowery dress or the big hoops dresses. I tend to try and keep things as modern as I can. So, maybe a public warning, there are crop tops and leggings and boots. I'm not your traditional, but it's all good family fun.
Okay, so sounds like we've got quite an updated, souped-up Treasure Island to see. What should make people come and see this one?
It's a new script. It's, as you say, updated. It's based on attracting not just the kids for the colour and slapstick, but also the parents who are going to bring them along, our family, friends, adults, senior citizens. It's fun for all the family. We hope that the style of the script and the pace of the show will suit everyone. And as we're just around the corner from many who will be listening to this now, I think it's well worth checking us out and coming to see the show.
Treasure Island has been running since the 23rd of January and finishes up on Sunday the 1st of February. Evening and matinee shows are available and full details can be found on the New Stages website, newstages.co.uk.
You're listening to the Blackshaw Arts Hour on Wandsworth Radio. Tweet us at Blackshaw Update and email us at blackshaw@wandsworthradio.com.
As you've just heard from our jazzy new jingle, you can indeed get in touch with us via our Twitter, @BlackshoreUpdate, by emailing us, blackshore@wandsworthradio.com, or you can indeed find us on the internet if you want to learn more about Blackshore Theatre Company. We are blackshoreonline.com, and we have a Facebook page as well. And we are always interested to hear if you have ideas for the radio show, and of course we're interested in getting submissions for our Showcase Award, as mentioned earlier, if you are a budding writer.
We are all over the internet. Now I'm going to speak a little bit about a play that I saw last Thursday. It was, it's called Private View, and it was at Theatre Delicatessen in Farringdon. It's written and devised by Plunge Theatre. One of the girls Blackshore has actually worked with before in a piece.
Yeah, Lovely Tutku was an assistant director on our Wandsworth Arts Festival contribution a couple of years ago.
Yeah, so it's three girls doing a really interesting piece, very, very much about females and very much about females and how they're portrayed by the media. I went along with my husband, and it was interesting to hear his side of it, because for me, I was watching a piece where I was just like, yes, I understand that. That affects me every day. And then having a conversation with Alex afterwards, and having him say, oh, I didn't know that was something that you dealt with. It was, yeah, really interesting. So this is Alex's review of Private Review at Theatre Delicatessen.
Private View is, at its very heart, a discussion on how women are treated in the media and society. You get to see three very different women exposing themselves physically and psychologically to the audience. Clowning, competition and cake feature heavily. There is never a dull moment on the stage as the three women frantically fight for the spotlight and attention of the audience. All of this is framed by their experiences and how this affects them as individuals. This piece is clearly very personal to the three performers, and without the comedy it could easily become indulgent. It is the comedy that allows it to have a much broader appeal, which is good, because I, as a man, went to see it with my wife. This is my man review. This piece was a bit of an education for me. There, I said it. I felt that having relationships both platonic and otherwise with women would prepare me for what I was about to experience. I was wrong. And it wasn't just because they talked about their periods, which they did, or performed graphic reenactions of hair removal, which they did. What got me the most was when they depicted that no matter what they looked like, society told them that they could always improve. The concept that whatever you look like will never be good enough. Even when you're in the spotlight and deemed popular, eventually society will find ways in which you are not enough. I can't imagine men wandering around an audience half naked asking people if they felt they were attractive, or asking if they should change bits of themselves and actually meaning it. Yes, men are starting to feel similar pressures from society and the media, but I think I can safely say that this is a predominantly female issue, which is why it felt all the more shocking, because I know that. Many people know this. So why isn't it changing? Because I think / hope that most people feel that this is an unrealistic aspiration for anyone to have. It gave me pause for thought over how I approach the issue, and if anyone in the future asked me these kinds of questions, I would definitely be aware of what not to say. I can't say much more than that, really. It is an honest, thought-provoking and funny piece. Go and see it for yourself. See how it makes you feel. You've only got until the 31st to do that. I hope it changes your mind for the better.
So that was a short review of a theatre piece that I saw last week on Thursday called Private View. Super interesting. I'd like to sort of get your idea, Ellie, on how you feel about women's issues being brought up in theatre. And
that's a large question.
That is a large question, I know. It's one of those pieces where I went along and found it to be very educational, not so much for me, but educational for men in the audience. And there was only about four of them. And it was a hugely predominantly female audience. And I came away thinking, there was a panel afterwards, and we got to have a chat with the ladies who devised it and came up with the idea. Mm-hmm. And they had some, you know, ideas of taking it on the road or maybe taking it to schools and things like that. Do you think that that's a really difficult thing to do if you have a piece and you want to, you know that it's sending the right message and you know that it could be educational for a lot of people to see?
Mm.
Is it really difficult coming from, you know, your point of view to take something like that and expand and try and target audiences that wouldn't necessarily come along to, you know, a small show on a Thursday night?
Yes and no. First, can I ask, did you find the show entertaining?
Hugely entertaining.
So was it funny?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think that's really, really important. For me, comedy is kind of the ultimate vehicle for saying what you want to say and having people listen to it. I think if you're entertaining people, you're making them laugh, they're much more receptive and open to what you're actually saying, and it's much easier to convey a message. What I really don't like is theatre that is highly politicised and that's all it is.
Yes.
That it doesn't have any characters which you're drawn to, it doesn't have any plot which is more than its politics and its message, and it doesn't have, you know, moments that make you laugh. And I think that that's, for me, above all, theatre has to be entertaining. And I'm all for theatre being educating, for it being reformative. I think it has incredible redemptive powers, but it has to be used in the right way. And I think you have to use the tools of comedy and of entertainment to do that. And I think with a show like that, it's really fantastic that it is funny and entertaining and gripping and engaging, because like many areas of promoting feminism, there are so many ways in which people perceive it to be boring and to be aggressive and to be generally not something that they're willing to engage with at all. So I think it's really important that people are finding ways to promote the message of gender equality in ways that people will find interesting and entertaining. And taking it to schools is something that's interesting, because I think probably if you took it into a school, a lot of people, particularly the boys in the audience, would be thinking, I don't want to watch this. This is going to be awful.
Girls.
It's just going to be an angry woman on stage shouting. And I know, and that's the perception. So it's important to be breaking down those barriers and to be showing people that that's not what it's about.
Mm. I agree with the feminism conversation, and I also agree that it can be very isolating for some people, and especially isolating for men. I mean, if you read what this piece was about as a man, you wouldn't probably necessarily go, oh, I want to go and see that.
No.
It takes women to get men along to these kind of productions, and I think that is an inherently good thing. But like I said, feminism, seeing the panel afterwards and hearing questions from the audience, you sort of end up running around in circles talking about these things without a double, you know, two-sided dialogue. When it's just women talking about, you know, women's issues in the media, it can be a bit like we're sort of banging our heads against a wall.
Yeah.
And you come away from it just going, oh, well, what are we going to do?
Well, that's why
I'm feeling a bit, you know, deflated about the whole situation.
That's why I liked what Alex had to say about it being, he didn't expect to learn anything. He thought that he knew it all, because he, you know, he's a modern man and he is a feminist and believes in gender equality, but still won't have a full understanding of a lot of the issues that women face every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was hilarious. It's one of the funniest things that I've seen on stage. The way that the girls were talking about what happens to their bodies and, you know, little things like, I probably will not say any of them on the radio because they are quite gross. And as a woman, you're sitting there going, yeah, that's a thing. That's what I deal with.
Yeah.
And men are like, what? That's horrific. And it is.
Well, I think that I really hope that this show continues to do well and that they don't shy away from promoting it as being funny. I think that you need to look at ways to bring in people, and particularly men, to see a show like that. And like you say, they're not necessarily going to read a blurb and say, yeah, that sounds like my cup of tea. So I think they need to be pushing the comedy aspect of it and to try and get in new audiences.
And it is funny. So that's Private View. It's running up until the 31st of January at Theatre Delicatessen in Farringdon. Go and see it. Take a man. Take all the men you know.
What do you think, Matt?
Would you go see it, Matt?
On that recommendation, yeah.
Yeah, I think you should. It's very informative. It's probably not the information that you ever want to hear, but, you know.
It's also worth mentioning that, for me, anything which is being produced by women and performed by women in the theatre is always a big tick, because women are still massively underrepresented in performing arts.
Exactly. And for that, it is a fantastic production to go and see. Coming up on the show now, we are going to play Fetch, which is something that we've done with Blackshaw.
Yeah. Do you want me to talk a bit about it?
Yeah, that would be nice, Ellie.
Okay.
Intro to Fetch for us.
Okay, I will. So Fetch is a fantastic play written by Duncan Gates. We started working with him at a Blackshaw New Writing Night a couple of years ago, and he was kind enough to lend us his play to perform as part of our Halloween Tales event last October. Matt Boothman, who joins us now, actually did a turn at the event and performed some writing, didn't you?
I did a classic William Hope Hodgson story. I shared a smoking jacket with Duncan Gates,
and
I
have to say it was
a beautifully intimate experience.
Duncan is an incredibly talented writer, and this piece is kind of spooky. So forewarned about that. Is there anything else we should warn people about for this piece?
We have a radio edit to play tonight, but there may be some language that offends some younger listeners or small ears. So if you are offended by language, maybe don't listen.
Yeah, turn us down for the next 27 minutes and then right back up again.
Yeah.
You will also have the chance to listen again to this piece. It will be playing on our podcast version of the show. Just go to our website, blackshaw9.com, and it will be up for 1 week only.
So this is Fetch by Duncan Gates.
Hello, Miss Thompson. Thank you for holding.
Hi, yeah. Oh, cool, thank you. Right. Right, so that's been done now, yeah? The card's been cancelled. No one can take any more payments off it. Okay. Do you mind if I ask, at what point do you guys decide that it is suspicious activity? Is there no one there who knows exactly? No. No, I work nights, so I won't be available at that time of day. When do you expect me to sleep? No, I'm serious. Well, yeah, of course I'm upset, Matthew. Of course I'm upset. Who wouldn't be upset? No, no, Matthew, that's not the point. How much they actually took isn't the point at all. Look, I don't give a shit if it's 45 or 40 million pounds. It's mine. And you know what? It's not just that. It's not just that. It's the fact that you, Matthew, sitting there with your little screen that's got all my transactions on it, if you didn't know about this, you'd just think it was me buying all those things. You couldn't, you know, because you're in some bloody call centre in Durham or wherever, you couldn't tell when the person buying those things on the card stops being me and turns into someone else, you know? You think it's all me and it's not. It's not always me. Those transactions, yeah, with those, you know, it feels like someone's got inside me and used me. Do you know what I'm saying? No, Matthew, sorry, because you're a guy. I don't think you do understand at all, actually. It makes me feel disgusting. I've got to go, but that's been done now, yeah? Okay, thanks, bye. Carl, not the tea towel.
Should I wash it?
Never mind, Carl, never mind. Sit down.
Okay.
Two things. Don't wipe your hands on the tea towel after the loo. It's disgusting. Use the dryer.
It's broken.
We'll put it in the accident book then. Take the tea towel home and wash it.
Right.
Second thing, don't try to be funny.
I don't.
Yes, you do. Look at that.
That's your name, Ali.
Yes, I know that's my name, Ali, but I didn't write it. I didn't write that. I only just got here.
But why would I write that, though? That's not funny.
Carl, I don't know what goes through your head.
It's your handwriting.
It can't be. I wasn't here.
But it is. Look. It's just the same as all your other ones.
You've been copying? It's quite good, actually. Give yourself a gold star.
Ali, why are you flying off the handle? It's just your name in the logbook.
Oh, sod it. I've really quickly got to eat. I'm starving. Anything happen?
No, nothing much.
Doesn't need two of us. I've always said this totally doesn't need two of us.
Handy tonight, though, I suppose.
Why?
Well, with you being late and stuff.
Cole? It's a quarter of an hour? 15 minutes? I'm not late, Cole. I'm not that kind of person. You are. You're late, like, every other night. Like, you had to finish the second half of the football. You had to take a DVD rental back, and I have to cover for you. So don't be coming all high and mighty on me about 15 bloody minutes.
Ali, I wouldn't do that. Never. Honestly, I'm serious. I'm very grateful to you for all of that.
Whatever, it's fine. Oh, finish it later. It's cold and disgusting anyway. We need a microwave in this place. Right, shan't be long. I'm just going to do a quick riz round in the van, check everything's all right. You'll be okay?
Fine, thanks, Ali.
Oh my God, you really weren't kidding, were you?
She's had a rough time.
She is a rough time. You've had a bad day, whatever, deal with it. Don't take it out on the little guy.
Oi, what's with the little guy?
We were pretty lucky there, huh?
Too right. She'd have had my arse on a plate.
Can't have that. Only I may have your arse on a plate. I thought she was, like, crazy punctual.
Yeah. Like, all the time. Weird, actually, that she...
Cole, you there?
Yeah, right here, Ali.
Nothing's happened, right? Nothing's happened, you told me. You sure about that?
No.
No, you're not sure? Or no, nothing's happened?
Oh, tell her about the...
No, nothing's happened.
There's tyre marks. It's not long stopped raining, and I can see there's tyre marks on the road. Christ's sake, Cole, how do you not notice something like that? Jesus!
Oh, I don't know, Ali. I don't know. I checked the video when I got in, and there was nothing. Have a look when you get back, I swear.
Whatever, speak to you later.
Why didn't you tell her?
Tell her what?
About the van.
What van?
When we were pulling up, right, I swear I saw this little van going up there around the corner at the top, just before we parked up. I didn't mention it because I thought it was someone else that worked here.
It can't have been. The gates were locked, no one else has got a key, and there's only me and Ali working here tonight. You got it wrong. Look, you were mistaken. It happens sometimes. She can't be in two places at the same time.
Maybe she can.
What, like, she's got an evil twin or something? Or actually, in her case, it'd be a really cool and awesome twin.
Do you know what a Pontianak is?
A what?
A Pontianak. It's this really creepy legend that I heard about in Thailand when I was travelling. There's this thing, this jungle spirit or something, called the Pontianak. Basically, what it does... you know there's one around when people start saying they've seen you in more than one place at the same time? Like, wearing your normal clothes and stuff, doing the things that you do? Corner of the eye type thing, you know? And always at the side or behind, never from the front.
Why not from the front?
They start off, like, taking your routine and your chores... Their clothes and hair look like your clothes and hair. And sometimes they have voices that sound like yours too. People hear them. But right, they've got no face. Imagine my face just covered in skin. From the forehead to the chin. No eyes, nose, mouth. Anything.
That's weird. Oh, man, that's really freaky. I don't like that.
Oh, you won't like the next bit either.
What? What happens? Why won't I like it?
Well, they keep doing what you do. Going to the same places and doing the same things. But slowly, you and the Pontianak get closer and closer together. Until eventually, you meet in the same place...
What? What happens then, Vic? Oh, come on, don't f*** me about.
You're really scared. I thought nothing scared you.
Look, I don't want to meet myself with no face around the corner. Just tell me what happens.
No one knows exactly, but apparently they have personality changes. It's one of the things they used to have to explain brain injuries, schizophrenia, that kind of thing. There's European legends like that as well. Doppelganger, fetch, they're all kind of the same thing.
fetch. What, like it's fetching you for something? I don't like that, Vic. That freaks me out.
Wow, you're not kidding, are you? Want me to stay? In case it comes back.
Rah! Oh, Vic, for sake, you're not funny. Oh.
Cole, you there? You there, Cole?
Hi, Ali. Everything okay?
I just saw headlights. I'm going down the hill towards Kestra Way, and I just saw a pair of headlights going round the corner behind Extra Care. If I was on time, I'd be right on top of them. How the hell didn't you notice anything, Cole?
Ali, I don't know. There was nothing.
You're in trouble. Serious trouble. Anything else happens, I'll let you know.
Oh, man, this is going to be fun.
Why didn't you just tell her?
Because there was nothing.
I'm not lying to you.
Okay, I had a look around when I got out. I checked the road, no tyre marks, none at all. Nothing could have driven away without leaving any tracks, and there were all tracks. I don't think that you're crazy or anything like that, but we all make mistakes.
Can anyone get in from further up? Is there a gate or anything?
Yeah, but if they'd bust it open, the alarm would have gone off. Apart from that, it's a fence all the way around. People climb over sometimes, but there is nowhere that you could get a car in.
Maybe she's going insane.
You say going.
Do you want me to go? You don't need me here. I'll only bite her head off.
Yeah, probably be best. Thanks for coming in with me. It's very sweet.
No problem. Give me a call when you're heading back. See you later, loser.
Later. Ah, just you and me, Ali. Man, what will we get up to? Oh, it's going to be like, you want a cup of tea?
No, you're off.
Oh, it's going to be the time of times. I'm going to have so much fun, I just don't know what I will do with myself. I swear, it's going to be like...
You there, Cole?
Jake.
Cole, can you just pick up the bloody radio?
I'm here, Ali. Sorry, I was...
Cole, not interested, doesn't matter.
What's up?
I found the car. It turned round and it's coming back up the hill towards me. I'm going to pull them over.
Yeah, cool. What does it look like?
Why does that matter?
Well, if it turns nasty and I need to call the cops or something. I mean, it's not that likely, but, you know...
No, that's a good point, actually. Have you got a pen or something?
Yeah, all the time. Where's that bloody pen? Oh, God, I lose it. Oh, where is it? Go ahead.
It's hard. The light's not too good, but... It's not a car.
What is it?
It's a van, a little van like one of ours. What?
What's wrong?
It just went under a light and... It looks like one of ours as well. Our logo and colours and everything.
That is impossible.
I'm not messing you around, Cole.
I know. Can you see who's in it?
There's someone driving, but I think that's all. I'm just going to pull them over.
Be careful, yeah?
Don't have a fit, Cole. They're slowing down. I'm just going to have a look. I'll leave the radio on. Excuse me, love. Can you wind your window down, please?
Ali? Ali, are you okay? Ali, what was that? What just happened? Oh, Ali, speak to me. It's not funny. This isn't funny. Oh. What happens? What the f*** happens when you meet your... Man, you're seriously freaking yourself out. She's dropped it. Or they've jumped her or something. Yeah. Yeah, ring the cops. Doesn't hurt. Can't hurt. Maybe leave it. Assess the situation. I don't have enough information. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to look like a little boy. It's not like you'll get thanks for it anyway. Yeah. Yeah, she's dropped it. She's clumsy. She's all on edge. Pontiac, whatever. Ali? Ali? Is that you? What happened? Ali? Who's that? Who's there?
It's me, Cole.
Who?
What do you mean?
Who is that?
It's Ali. Who were you expecting?
What's wrong with your radio?
It broke. It slipped off and fell on the road. I could hear you coming through, but you couldn't hear what I was saying.
What was with that van?
What van?
That van you met out there.
Oh, that was no problem in the end. They got lost. Lost their way. It was a misunderstanding, and I showed them out through the gate on Falcon Drive. It's all fine now, Cole.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Cole, you sound really stressed. Is everything okay?
Nah, Ali, it's all good here.
Good. Could you let me in, please, Cole?
Why can't you open the door yourself?
I don't have my pass card. I left it on the table.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No way. No, you've been working here forever. You've never done that before. Not in the whole time that I've been here. No, Ali, that's not what you do. Never.
I forgot it, Cole. It's been a stressful day. It's on the table. Have a look.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, it's still here. Still here.
Cole, you're not all right. What's wrong?
I just... What if they're trying to use you to get in?
What if who's using me?
What if someone's got a gun to your head, making you say what you're saying so that I'll let you in?
Do you want to come to the door and have a look? Paul? Do you want to come and have a look at me? Paul? Paul, please. Please come and look at me. Oh.
Everything all right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. Sorry, I had some milk earlier and I feel a bit funny. Maybe it's a bit off. Just excuse me a sec.
Cole, where the f*** are you? I don't know...
You feeling better now?
Much better, thanks. You okay?
I'm fine, thank you. If the milk's bad, shall I go to the garage and get us some more?
You sure?
Yeah. It's only a couple of minutes to the garage.
Yeah, go for it. Why not?
Do you want any medicine or anything?
No. I'm good. Hello? Hello? 1, 2, 2, 2? Oh, cheap, nasty.
What are you doing, Cole? Tear me off! Just not turn me off, you f***ing...
Hello?
Where the f*** have you been? Did you cut me off earlier?
No. No, I didn't. Who's this?
It's Ali, you dumb f***. Who do you think it's going to be?
Where are you?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
I don't know where I am. It's all dark. It's just nothing. No light or anything. I can feel. That's all. I can feel the radio in my hand. That's it. Nothing else. I can't see anything. I can't hear anything apart from you. It's... God, I'm really, really scared.
Right. What happened? What's the last thing you remember?
The other van was pulling over and the window came down and I looked inside. I'm going mad. I'm going f***ing mental. It had a shirt on like mine, but... His face. It was like a thumb. Just skin and nothing. And this hair, just like my hair, down the sides. But it was looking at me. It didn't even have any eyes, but it was looking at me, Cole. And then I'm just here and I can't see and I can't move. Cole, help me, for sake.
What do I do?
Kill it.
What?
Kill it, Cole. It isn't me. There's something there with you, and it isn't me. It isn't me, Cole. You've got to kill it.
What happens then?
I don't f***ing know. How do I know, Cole? It's got inside me or something. I don't know, but it isn't me. I don't want it. I get rid of it. Just get rid of it.
How do I know?
What?
How do I know you're you?
We can't both have a radio. I've still got the radio, Cole. I was holding it. It's here. Has it got a radio, Cole? Cole, has it got a radio or what?
Just a sec. Just a sec.
Cole, stop!
You okay, Ali?
Yes. Why?
You seem very, happy.
Why wouldn't I be?
I thought maybe, with the van you met out there, it sounded like you had trouble.
No trouble. They just got lost. Wrong route, that's all. My radio slipped off. It probably made some weird noise at this end. Won't turn on now.
Yeah, I know. I've never liked these things. Cheap, nasty sh**. This one's playing up again, too.
I'll ask for some new ones.
You sure? That's, like, effort. Where did you put yours?
It's in the van.
Better get it, eh? For the accident report.
Yeah. Sure.
We could just do it now.
I'll handle it. It's fine.
Nah, it's no trouble.
Cole, really, it's fine. We don't have to do that now.
See, you wouldn't normally say that. Nah, normally you'd have got it out and dealt with it right away. You'd have come back here, slammed it on the table, and you'd still be bitching about it now.
Cole, I don't know what you mean. I'm sorry.
What are you?
It's me, Cole. It's Ali.
No, it's not.
Get out! Get the f*** out right now! I mean it! Don't you f*** dare think you could do this to me! Cole, what the f*** are you doing, Cole? Eat it! Stop it! It's there! It's not me! It's not me!
I don't know what you are.
Cole, I just want to be your friend.
Help me, woman, it's breaking up. The battery's going, the battery can't die. Cole, do it. Cole, I'm sorry, please. Ah!
cheap, nasty sh**. Might want to get some new ones, Chief. Hi, you okay?
Yes, yeah, fine. You're back late?
Yeah. Some incident. The police closed off the high street. I had to go around. Are you all right?
Something weird happened.
What?
I was in bed, asleep, and about, I don't know, half an hour ago, I heard a car pull up outside. And I looked out, and I swear on my life it was yours. Could see your head in the driver's side too. So I put the light on, because I thought you'd be up fairly soon. But nothing happened. I looked out again, and the car had gone. I thought it was a bit weird that I hadn't heard it pull away, but I thought maybe you just moved up the street or something. But I couldn't see it anywhere. It was weirding me out, so I got my dressing gown on and went out to look around. Nothing. Nobody walking around, nothing. But I was sure it was you.
That terrifying tale was written by Duncan Gates, directed by Ellie Pitkin, the sound producer was Andy Crane, the part of Cole was played by Alex Yagmer, Vic by Bryony Tebbutt, and Ali by Rosie Marsh.
That's been the Blackshire Arts Hour for this week. Next week on the show, we're going to be having quite a little bit of poetry, which is pretty exciting, because it's not something that we've played before. We're also going to be joined again by Matt, which is fantastic.
Hooray!
Yay!
So I'm going to be talking about Whiplash next week, which is a movie you should definitely not see, Aisha, because it's not just full of jazz drumming, it's actually about jazz drumming.
I've sat through a couple of the trailers, and it does not look like my cup of tea. What we were talking about
pretty
this
intense.
Just before. What is with all of the jazz drumming movies?
It's just two.
It's only, I know it, yeah, it is only two.
It is a funny coincidence, though, isn't it?
It's a bad coincidence.
Planned just for you, Aisha.
It's, not my, it's just not rhythmic enough for me, you know? I just find
it just, the trailer looks pretty stressful, so.
It's not rhythmic enough for J.K. Simmons' character either half the time.
No, I feel like he has a really hard time. Like, he doesn't look like he has fun in that film.
No, it's a tough performance.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like we're having a sneak peek at next week's review.
I haven't properly made up my mind yet.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, you need a week to do that, Matt.
Just a final word, if I may, about the Blackshore competition we currently have open for writers. The deadline is the 6th of March, so you do have a bit of time to think about it. There are FAQs and all the other information you would need to know about submitting your work on our website, which is blackshoreonline.com.
Excellent. So next up on Wandsworth Radio is Kay with Business Bites.
Correct.
Yeah, that's going to be a good show. What have you got planned theatre-wise this week, Ellie? Are you seeing anything?
No, but I did see a show on Friday, which I'm happy to talk about next week. It's called Taken at Midnight, and it stars the lovely Penelope Wilton, who most people will know from Downton Abbey. And it's very good. Bit of a downer. But
well, I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, yeah, good. I'll try and make it sound more upbeat.
Fantastic. Well, we're nearly out of time.
Be sure to tune in next week, 6 till 7 on Wandsworth Radio.
Yeah, bye.